So today is Pentecost Sunday, which we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment in terms of if you aren't unfamiliar with what that means. But before we do that, I just want to remind you that starting June 23rd, we'll return to just one morning service for the summer. So next week, two services, and then the following Sunday, okay? Just so you're aware. And we'll do that for the summertime and figure it out from there. So it's also the 100th anniversary of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada today, and of which we are a part, where starting well over 100 years ago, where the Holy Spirit was poured out in North America, actually starting in Los Angeles and then moving to Toronto, and it for years and years, the Spirit of God pouring out and showing up and doing incredible things, miraculous things in people's lives. And when it started in 1906 in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, this is before the internet, right? And phones weren't even that popular. And over years, over a million people came from around the world to Azusa Street. Like that's incredible. I mean, by those standards, right? Where things just got done through newspapers and telegraphs and letters, and over a million people showed up because God was doing something incredible there. And of course, we know and recognize that God is always at work, always. So we're going to talk today about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you can just pause and think of a time in your life when you recognized the Holy Spirit at work in you or through you. A time for you where the Holy Spirit was at work in you or working through you. It doesn't always have to be a huge, miraculous thing, although it could have been. Think of this. Have you ever been reading your Bible, and then all of a sudden, like a verse that maybe you've read like 100 times, all of a sudden like lights up off the page? And God is revealing something to you, something that maybe you didn't understand or fully grasp before. That's the Holy Spirit at work in you. And then, of course, as you go and you maybe share that with people, that's Him working through you. There's times where maybe you've just received encouragement from the Holy Spirit directly or through another person, and that's the Holy Spirit at work in your life. There's times where He speaks. He's always trying to speak truth to us, and always. And there are times certainly where we know it and understand it, where it's revealed more to us, more significantly to us than maybe it had been before. And here's I'll give you an example. So recently, I was telling John about this as he and I were meeting, Pastor John. I said, you know, I had this moment just a few weeks ago where the Holy Spirit, I was sitting praying, nothing, like I wasn't praying specifically about this, but all of a sudden I had the Holy Spirit. He said to me, yeah, you know, the way you are, like this way that you are. And it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. He's just saying the way that you process the world right here, your worldview, the way that you handle things. He said, that actually is because of this all the way back here in your life. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. And God was connecting dots. He was bringing truth to me that helped me understand Him and me. And honestly, I was thinking, boy, that's a long time. I would have liked to have known that sooner. But the Holy Spirit reveals things to us when we're ready. It's the way that it works. It is a relationship that we have. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so He's a person that we can have a relationship with. Now, in Scripture, He's often described as things like the pitchers. He's often described as fire and oil and water. Because He's a spirit, the Bible is trying to help us get a picture of who He is and what He does in our lives. And so when I say He's a person, it's not like a flesh and bone person like you and I, but He is a personality. He has thoughts and feelings, and He has desires. He has plans for us. And so He sometimes comes as fire, which purges us, but then also lights us up for other people to see, right? He water, which, feeds us. It produces growth in us and helps us in a sense of dryness. And then the oil, which represents all kinds of things, but it represents his power, represents healing in our lives, and his covering over us, because oil coats you and covers you. And so there's all these symbols. There's lots of symbols you'll find throughout Scripture. And so we're going to look at some Scripture today from the book of Acts, where it first describes, you know, Jesus talking about, Acts chapter 1, Jesus talking about what's going to happen in terms of the Holy Spirit coming. And so it says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, meaning Jesus, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized you with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, is the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Because they fully hadn't grasped yet. They were still thinking it was going to be this earthly kingdom. They hadn't quite grasped yet that it was spiritual. And so he's replied, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, through Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so the goal, the purpose of God's Spirit filling us is that we would be a witness. Now there's several different ways to interpret this or look at this. One of the power or one of the significant things of witness is a changed life. So when the Holy Spirit fills you and your life is changed, you're set free and things, significant things happen in your life, that's a witness to other people. Another way to define a witness is somebody who takes a stand and describes events that they saw, what they saw and who was responsible for them. And so part of our job is that the Holy Spirit fills us, and then we give witness to what God is doing in our lives and then through our lives. Because if it's true for us, it's true for other people as well. And so this is a promise from God. And so what's happened is 50 days, which is where we get Pentecost, because Pent means 50. So 50 days after Jesus is crucified, there's this day of Pentecost, which the Hebrews celebrated this. They had a feast called Pentecost. And what happens is 120 believers or followers of Jesus are gathered together praying, waiting for the promise that Jesus has told them to wait for. And as they're waiting, the Holy Spirit comes. The promise arrives. And they're filled with the Spirit. Now, if you continue to read in Acts, it describes that there's this sound that comes from heaven. This sounds like a rushing wind, it says. And then as the Spirit shows up like fire, and it descends upon them. And as it descends upon them, they begin to speak in other languages, some earthly, and I'm assuming some not, but it describes the earthly languages that they begin to speak. And what happens is they're in the city of Jerusalem, and people recognize that something significant is happening. I think they hear the sound that comes from heaven, like a rushing wind, and then I think they hear, the 120 people praying and praising God in other languages, and it draws a crowd. A crowd of people begin to gather around. They're wondering what's going on. It's 9 in the morning. Right? And of course, some people accuse them of being drunk. And Peter says, no, it's too early for that. As though, later in the day would have been acceptable. But he says, no, it's too early for that. And so then Peter stands up and he addresses the crowd. And he begins to explain. He says, this is the promise of Joel chapter 2. Which was written 450 years or so before the day of Pentecost. Before this day. And so he talks about what happens in Joel chapter 2. And he says this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I had a friend from church here recently tell me about a dream that they'd had from God. And as they described the dream to me, and it was obvious that God had given them a dream. He then expressed that he was a little bit sad because it meant he was an old man. So I can appreciate that, but so it's all right. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. In those days, he says, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. I actually think that the prophetic, the knowing the heart and mind of God, that all of God's people are meant to operate in prophetic things, to be able to know what God is saying in a moment and to either do or to speak out the thing that he wants. It's what God desires for us, for right, on all his servants, men and women alike. He says, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God is still today pouring out his spirit upon people, on all people. It doesn't, just like in that day, where it didn't matter, man, woman, and then it describes as they're enabled and they speak in other languages, God is, he's speaking through individuals to all different races and nationalities. See, God doesn't care. His heart is for all of his creation. When I say he doesn't care what your gender is. He doesn't care what your race is. He doesn't care what your past is. He doesn't care what your hang-ups are. He desires to fill you with his spirit, for you to experience more and more of him. He desires for his spirit to come and to fill his people, that we would walk in and operate in prophecy and visions and dreams, and that we would see miraculous signs and wonders. Now, let me be clear that those are the things God wants to do through us, but the purpose and the goal of us being filled is knowing him more and more. It's what he desires, to pour out his spirit upon all of us. So in that, let me just right from the start encourage you that being filled with the Spirit is not this goal to be accomplished. It is just the pursuit of a relationship with him. It's a pursuit of a relationship. That the being filled with the Spirit isn't the end goal. It's just simply not. It is his goal for us to just know him more. And it's a part of it. So pursue him. Jesus is the one that baptizes. So pursue Jesus in knowing him. Just pursue him. You can ask him. You say, Lord, I want that. I desire that. I desire this, to have the same experience that they had in the book of Acts. But don't make that the ultimate goal. Make knowing Jesus the ultimate goal. Isn't that really the ultimate goal anyways, right? So just continue to pursue him. Continue to know him, because he desires this for all of humanity. God isn't stingy. He's not fickle. He doesn't look and say, well, some deserve this and some don't. He desires to pour out his spirit upon all people. All. There isn't anybody that he would exclude. And yet, many times in us, right, we struggle. And I can appreciate that maybe it's something that you've been pursuing for years and years. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute, because I want to encourage you to continue to pursue him. God desires to pour out his spirit upon you. And so what we're going to do this morning is I actually felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to share with you three significant encounters or experiences that I had with him. And then what I've learned from them, and what he did, but also then what I learned and what we can learn from those things. So we're going to go, for me, we're going to go all the way back to what was the start for me. I became a Christian. I committed my life to following Jesus. I was almost 18 years old. I was just a few months shy of being 18. And, it was my last year of high school, and God began to talk to me right away. about, because I, you know, you're at the last year of high school, you're making plans. God began to talk to me right away that maybe my life was going to look a little bit different than I thought it was. And then what happened was maybe about a year after that, so I was just before I turned 19, I was in my parents' home, and I was sitting on their couch, and it was late at night. It was 11, 1130 at night, and the older I get, the later that is. And, you know, so it's late, I'm praying, and I'm praying. I'm actually focusing on the scripture where Jesus says, if you have faith, you can speak to a mountain, and you can command the mountain to move. I'm focusing on that scripture, and I'm praying on it. I'm praying it, I'm reading it over and over. I'm just worshiping Jesus. I was simply pursuing him. That's all I was doing. I wasn't pursuing being filled with the Spirit. I had injured my neck about 2 years previous to that, playing football. I'd cracked a bone up here on the top of my neck, bottom base of my skull. I cracked this bone, and it was painful. And doctors had tried cortisone injections, which really was unpleasant and did not help. And so I'm that was actually the thing that I was pursuing. But I was in that. I was just wanting Jesus. Do you remember when you first knew him and met him? And how captured your heart was by him? And this is where I was. And this is a place where God wants us to live, because we pursue him. And just like in all relationships, as the longer it goes, it's easy to begin to take them for granted. And so I want to encourage you to pursue him new and fresh today. And so I'm praying, and I'm asking him for this and believing. And the Holy Spirit came on me, and from head to toe, I knew, sitting there all alone on my parents' couch, I knew the Holy Spirit had come on me. My body would, like, it felt like there was electricity all over my body. It's the only way I can describe it. And I knew that he was healing my neck. I knew it was happening. And I was like, oh, I'm excited. I'm so grateful. And I begin to, you know, I get a little bit louder, and I'm thankful for it. And then God spoke to me, and he spoke English to me. Which might sound funny, but this is what I mean by that, is that he actually spoke from outside me into my, it was my right ear, I even remember, he spoke into my right ear. And the reason I say that is because God talks to us all the time. Now, like generally when God speaks to me, it's in here, right? It's in my mind, it's in my heart, my emotions. This came from outside me. It's one of the only times I've audibly, verbally heard the voice of God. And so I'm sitting there, and I know God's healing me, and I hear, and this is what I hear him saying. I hear him saying, now speak in tongues. And so I was like, oh. And so I the gift of tongues, like the tongues just began to come out of me. And now, you know, years and years later, I realize what he was doing. Because he's kind of looking at it going, you don't know what's happening. So I'm just going to help you out a little bit. And it's kind of like, Blair, you're a little slow on the uptake. It's okay. It's all right. You know. So he had to tell me, hey, speak in tongues, because I'm filling you with my Spirit. And that's what he desired for me to do in that moment. And so this heavenly language came out of me. And, you know, so of course I continued to seek God. I can, in that moment, you know, I worship, and I am so grateful that he has healed me. That he, I, you know, I have had this experience and this encounter of being filled with his Spirit. And here's what I want you to know, because there's more to the story. Because then, about 20 years later, so I'm in my late 30s, and I'm pastoring. And one of the things that I would often do is I would just get up in the morning and I would say hello to the Lord. So I get up one morning, and I hop in the shower, and I say, good morning, Lord, because I want to love him, right? So I talk to him like I talk to a person. So I, good morning, Lord. And then right there in that moment, you know, he gave me a whole bunch of information. And this is what I mean. So there I am. I'm in my late 30s, and God suddenly reminds me of all the way back to 20 years prior to that when I was 18. And he fills me with his, I was filled with his spirit. And I'm like, wow, thanks, God. And then I heard him say this to me. Heard him say, and it was not an audible voice, it was an inside voice. And I heard him say this. He said, I gave you that gift back then. And I knew and understood that what he meant was he wasn't talking about the gift of the Spirit, he was talking about a gift of healing. Because as he healed me, as he imparted healing to me, he was also imparting the gift. Because this is often what he does. And so I was like, oh, okay. And here's what I remember happening. I stood there, and suddenly I felt this remorse. I can remember thinking, God, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't know what you were doing. I didn't understand. Like I can remember thinking, Lord, I went and told my pastors what had happened, and they celebrated, but nobody told me what you were doing. Nobody explained it to me, and I mean, I'm this 18-year-old punk. I have no idea what you're doing. And this is what God said to me in response to that. He says, you think 20 years is a big deal to me? So you think 20 years is a big deal? Like, I'm feeling all this remorse. And I'm like, God, that's 20 years that I've wasted. And he's like, you think 20 years matters? And I can remember him saying to me, Blair, I can do more in seconds than you can do in lifetimes. Why do we need to be filled with the Spirit? Because God can do in seconds in us what we try to do in lifetimes. So here's my encouragement to you. Right, God is not a respecter of people. 120 men and women are in this room praying for the gift, for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And God falls on every single one of them. Can you tell me that every single one of them was as passionate as the rest? Well, I don't know. Probably not in a room of 120, right? But they're there and they're committed. And the fact is that the Holy Spirit doesn't respect humanity in this way, in that he doesn't care if you're a man or a woman. He doesn't care what your past is. He cares about you and about you being encountering him and being filled with his Spirit. And he will do whatever it takes to bring you to those places. You may have been praying for years for this. Let me encourage you. Keep pursuing it. Keep praying. We don't always know or understand why God does what he does. He's God. He can do what he wants, right? We have deep issues with control as humanity. We want things when we want them. We want things to be the way that we want them to be. And here's one of the things that I often think about in this whole topic, not just about being filled with the Spirit, but about pursuing God, continuing to pursue him. I often think of Proverbs 25 and 2. It's not going to be on the screen. But Proverbs 25 and 2 says, it's the privilege or glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the privilege and glory of God, of kings, to reveal them or to seek them out. And so that helps me, because what I know and understand when I read that scripture and when I'm reminded of that scripture is that God doesn't actually hide things from us. God hides things for us. He hides things for us to pursue and to seek him and to know him. He does that because something really good happens in us as we pursue him. As you go after him, sometimes it's hours, sometimes it's weeks and months and years, but as you pursue him, he does work in you. He brings you to new places of understanding. He brings you into new places of surrender. What's his goal in doing that? It's the privilege or glory of kings to seek out the things that God has hidden, right? What's he trying to do? He's trying to make you more and more like Jesus in the seeking. He's trying to make you become the king or the queen that you are, because scripture says that we are a royal priesthood. He's trying to instill into you who he says you are. So there's this pursuit that you just simply cannot give up on. Continue to pursue him. Continue to go after Jesus, who is the one that baptizes. Don't make the gift, the end goal, right, that of being filled with the Spirit, but just make knowing Jesus more and more the goal that he has. Don't give up. Continue to pursue him in every area of your life, because God desires for you to know him more and for him to use you more. All right, the second story that I have for you is this. I got three stories for you this morning. Second story is this. One time in a church service, we're at the end of the church service, right? And we were inviting people down to be prayed for, and it was they were all teenagers, and there were some adults, but it was mostly teenagers. And I can remember I'm standing and I'm inviting people to come down, and some the worship bands behind me, they're playing, and people started to come down to pray and to be prayed for. And then something happened in the room. It's the only way, at least at the front part of the room where I was, something happened, meaning something shifted and changed. God showed up in a way that I was not expecting. God does that. And the worship team sensed it and understood it, and they actually began, the only way I can describe it is that they kind of went into battle mode as a worship team. They started just playing. And it wasn't a song that anybody knew. They were just playing and worshiping on their own. Like they were just going after Jesus. And you could tell that something significant was happening. And there was this young lady. She was on the left-hand side up at the front. And she was standing there. And she had her eyes closed. And I remember thinking, I should go pray for her. And as I began to move towards her, The only way I could describe this was that I suddenly, it's not like I lost control, but suddenly the Holy Spirit was speaking through me. He was just speaking through me. To this day, I don't know what I said. I'm assuming that the words were English, because I only know English, in terms of beyond a heavenly language. But I don't know what I said. What I know is that as I was moving towards her, the Holy Spirit was driving what I was doing. He was speaking through me, and it was directed towards her. And as I spoke the words towards her, I was, from me to Nadine, away from her. And as I was speaking, she began to weep. She crumpled onto the floor. She began to heave. And the Holy Spirit was delivering her from demonic presence in her life. I didn't know at the time, but I knew that a battle was happening. So here's the thing to know, a couple things. One, there is absolutely a spiritual battle at work. The enemy has plans for you and for our world, for our city. So does God. And being led by the Spirit will lead us to victory. The second thing that I want you to know is we often pray things like, God, I just want you to have control. And I can appreciate why we pray that, but here's the thing, because we have issues with control. God does not. God does not have control issues. He understands all authority rests with him. If you know you have all authority, you don't have control issues. So he knows. And so when we say, God, I want you to have control, we're really expressing, God, I'm trying to abandon my desire to control how this should look. Here's what I'm trying to get at. In that moment when the Holy Spirit was driving me, and I didn't even really know what I was saying, you know, had I lost complete control of myself? Absolutely not. Could I have stopped it? I suppose, but I didn't want to. The Holy Spirit is not looking to control you. He is looking for a permissive partnership with you, where you are so surrendered, where you are so willing to let him do whatever he wants through you, that you might get to the end of an experience in an encounter and go, I actually really don't know what just happened. Because this is what he's like. It isn't about control. For us, it's about control because we want things the way we want things. And of course, God says, well, my way is the way that works. Make a choice. So, we encourage you that there is this spiritual battle. The enemy wants to influence your home, your marriage, your workplace. He wants to influence your friendships and your city, but being led by God will bring victory. So here's what I'm asking for you. I'm asking you to commit to knowing Jesus more, to commit to being led by the Spirit more and more. And understand that in making that commitment, you will encounter resistance. Because just like in our human body, resistance builds strength. God will build strength in you as you encounter resistance. Here's something you need to know. God will not shield you from every battle. He just simply won't shield you from every battle. But every battle you face, he has prepared you for it. You wouldn't face it if he hadn't prepared you. See, let's think about this, because what do? We're like, God, I do not appreciate the situation I find myself in. I am not enjoying this. And God would say, but I got you ready for it. See how control works in us? God, I didn't appreciate that. I didn't really want that. And God says, I got you ready for it. Son, daughter, I got you ready. He won't shield you from every battle. But the ones that you find yourself facing, he's prepared you for them. That's supposed to bring us confidence in being led by him. Because you can acknowledge the battle, but focus on him. So, commit to being more and more led by the Spirit. Third story is this. And this is one of my favorite things. It's one of my favorite stories, but it was one of my favorite encounters. I used to lead an annual mission stream to Montreal, Quebec. And we'd go for a week every summer. And you might think that sounds funny to do missions right in Canada, but Quebec is actually one of the least reached places in the whole world. If you're from Quebec, God bless you. Pray for your province. So this one year, I had a group of 16 or 17, mostly teenagers, but five or six adults and about a dozen teenagers. And we would go and we'd work with Youth for Christ. And one of the suburb areas of Montreal is actually one of the poorest places in all of Canada because it's an immigrant, you know, it's a port city, and so lots of immigrants end up living there. The average family income in this suburb was $12,000 a year. Very poor. And so we would go and we would work on YFC's building, and we would run kids programs in this complex, right, that had a big open field in the center, and we would invite all kinds of kids in, and we'd just have a great week ministering and trying to, you know, help families that desperately needed it. And so as part of that, we'd work all day, right, and then you'd have supper, and then you would go out and we'd have a little bit of fun. If you've never been to Montreal, it's just a fantastic city, absolutely worth visiting. And we'd go out and have a little bit of fun, and then we would come back, and we'd have church. We'd worship, and we'd have a message. And so this one night, partway through the week, like nearing the end, we gather to worship, and my friend Brian, who helped me organize every year, he picked up his guitar to lead in worship. And as soon as Brian, like, strummed, you know, the first chord, something shifted and happened in the room. That God showed up in a way, again, that I was not expecting. And the only way I can describe it is that it felt like it just fell. You know, and our language doesn't always do a lot of justice because, you know, the scripture says the whole earth is full of the glory of God. But for us, you know, we're these finite beings trying to describe this infinite God. And so it felt like he descended upon us. And Brian couldn't even get through two worship songs before he had to put his guitar down. And he just couldn't play anymore because the presence of God was so real, it was so tangible. It was like you'd take your hand and you'd move your hand and the air felt thick because he was so present. And then for the next 3 hours, this group of, you know, small group of adults and a larger group of teenagers just began to pray. They began to worship. They began to prophesy over one another. And God just began to break out over this group of people. And I believe that the reason for that is because they had gone to serve other people and to seek him. There's the lesson, part of the lesson for us right there. As we serve others and seek him, God shows up in special ways. When we have that priority right, we seek him and we serve others. And when we have that priority in our life, God shows up in ways that we can't explain or expect. And here's what I know. So, because they began to cluster, right, and to pray for one another, and they're worshiping, and as I said, they're speaking God's words over one another. And it was this lively situation that wasn't chaotic. It's the best way I can describe it. It was just alive, but not chaos, because this is what God's like. And there was this overwhelming sense of his presence, but this incredible peace at the same time. And remember that there's these sisters, they're twins, that their dad had abandoned them when they were little. And they'd had a continued relationship with him, but it wasn't good. And so there they are, they're, like, I don't know, 14 or 15. And God began to speak to them about it, about the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the anger that was in their heart towards their father. And they forgave him. And the Holy Spirit just came and he's pouring out upon them love and grace and healing. And it changed their lives, their destinies. They're 26 now and they both love Jesus. It changed what God was doing in them. And the destiny that the enemy, the battle that the enemy had over them, where he wanted to destroy them. And God's like, I got different plans for you. And so there's this, for hours, God just shows up and pours himself out because this group of people had positioned themselves to seek him and to serve others. And so I remember partway through the evening, my friend Brian, he came up to me and he leaned in and he said these words to me. And they've always stuck with me. He said, this is how I think it's supposed to be every time God's people get together. Where there's just this overwhelming sense of his power and his presence. And I know this. My heart longs and yearns. Like it longs, it's hungry for more of that kind of presence of God. See, our hunger matters. It makes a difference within the kingdom of God. God desires to be with us. And the thing is, he always responds to the invitation to come. He always responds. I've heard it said like this. He'll always come where he's invited, but he'll only stay where he's welcome. It's kind of, that works for us too, though, doesn't it? Somebody invites you over to their house, and you're like, yeah, I'd like to go. But then if they make you feel unwelcome in their home, are you ever going back there? Probably not. God desires to pour himself, his spirit out upon us. So here's what I'm asking for you. I'm asking you for the next 7 days to intentionally pursue him, to look for more of him, more of his presence in your life. So we're going to, in a moment, we're going to pray. going to invite you to maybe to be filled with the Spirit. Not maybe. We're going to invite you to be filled with the Spirit today, right where you are. And to experience that however God wants you to experience that. We're going to pray for spiritual battles this morning by focusing on Jesus. But you might find yourself in the midst of something difficult. And we want to pray for that. And we're going to respond in worship. But what I really want is to cultivate that desire for more of His Spirit. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come. As they make their way, I'm going to invite you to stand. And we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So where you are, I'm just going to encourage you to begin to thank Jesus, to praise Him, to worship Him, even just to say His name or tell Him that you love Him. The reason for that, and even if it's just a whisper, but it has to be audible, the reason for that is because for the Holy Spirit to be able to get that permissive partnership, your tongue actually has to be moving. He won't just move it. You have to be in partnership with Him. And so just where you are, just begin. Right now, just begin to thank Him, to praise Him, to worship Him. Yeah, that's it. Come on. It's all right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come. Come, fill us new and fresh today. Fill us, your people. Do in us whatever you desire to do. God, for those that need healing, physical or emotional, God, intellectual, Father, for those that need to be set free right now, in Jesus' name, come, Holy Spirit, fill us new and fresh. We receive, God, from you. Jesus, we look to you. You are the one that baptizes. And Jesus, we desire for our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole body to be captured by you, to love you with all that we have, with all that we are, that we would love you. We would serve you and you alone. Not our will, not our way, but yours and yours alone, oh God. That we would just be vessels completely positioned to be filled new and fresh today by you. Come, Holy Spirit. Right, if you've been seeking for years, let me just encourage you to worship. Just begin to worship. Focus on Jesus. Don't worry about the actual gift or what happens. Just focus on Jesus. Pursue Him, and He'll baptize you when you're ready. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Jesus, you are beautiful. You are lovely. You are everything our hearts desire. But God, we know that more than that, that you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are our shield, our hiding place. You are the mighty warrior that fights for us. You are the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. And so, God, for those today that find themselves in those places of battle, those places where they feel like they're still captive, God, we speak your freedom now in Jesus' name. Complete and full deliverance. The enemy is not allowed to touch your people, oh God. We know it, we understand it, and we declare it right now in Jesus' name. No more may the enemy harass or torment. But God, may you raise us up together by your Spirit to go, to be the people that you've told us to be. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we come and we desire to know you more. We say, Jesus, that we love you. We love you because you first loved us, and your love is endless. It's beyond what we can know or understand. And so, Lord, we come back again and again to say we love you, because it creates in us, God, that hunger for more of you, for more of you. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you, but God, our city needs you. Our city needs you. We recognize that you're here. And so we ask, Lord, that you come in increasing measure in our homes, our workplaces, our schools. May you flood our streets, oh God, that people would encounter you in Walmart, that people would encounter you at QF on the sidewalk, God, in their front yard, Jesus, that they would know that you love them, that you have given your life for them, that God, they can meet you and find new life in you. God, may we not hold back anymore from all that you have for us. No fear of man, God. No more reservations. No more hang-ups in Jesus' name. But you and you alone. You and you alone. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a breaking right now. There's a breaking. I don't know. There's a breaking, and it's going to bring joy. It's a breaking that brings joy. Let go of your sorrow. It's a breaking that brings joy in Jesus' name. Yep, come on. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's okay if God, if you need to get a little bit silly, not that I always encourage that, but if you feel the need to laugh, if you feel the need to be expressive in joy, clapping or dancing or whatever it is, there's freedom here. Ooh, it's time for an increasing joy in God's people. Ooh, thank you, Lord, for your joy. Thank you, God, for your joy. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The worship team's going to continue to lead us. It might be just this, and that's fine. Or they might lead us in a song. Here's what I want. And feel free. You don't need to stay in your chair. Or you can come up. You can come up to the front and seek Him. You can go into the aisles. Please just be free to seek God right now in this moment, however you desire, however you want. All right? Let's respond to the Lord in worship this morning. Hallelujah.